From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Finding funding for the arts is often a constant struggle. For Sacramento's longtime and only Black museum, it's what keeps them up at night. The Sojourner Truth African Heritage Museum has been at Florence Square for 30 years. We first came across their struggles in an article from The Observer and reached out to the museum's founder, Shauna McDaniels, to learn more about the challenges that they've been facing. While Insight was on summer break, senior producer Andrew Garcia and I paid Shauna a visit at the Sojourner Truth Museum in South Sacramento. She explains why community art spaces like hers are so important. The Sojourner Truth African Heritage Art Museum is located inside Florence Square, sandwiched between I-5 and Highway 99.
Hi, thank you.
The shopping center has long been home to a large collaboration of Black-owned businesses.
Nice, thank you so much.
As we make our way into the museum.
Hi, we're here with Cap Radio. I'm Vicky.
From floor to ceiling.
Oh, wow.
We're met with an eclectic exploration of African Americans and their legacy.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hi, Shauna.
Hi. Good to have both of you here.
Shauna McDaniels is the heart of Sacramento's only Black museum.
Our current exhibit from the students from Sheldon High School.
Oh, nice.
10th, 11th, and 12th graders.
Oh, wow.
The executive director and founder opened the Sojourner Truth Museum 30 years ago. But that's not where the story begins.
Well, actually, I was doing the work before 1996.
Working with an art collective in Curtis Park.
We had a studio space right across the street from Gunther's Ice Cream. And that entire building housed about maybe 50 African-American artists.
Before moving on to another studio on Del Paso Boulevard. And eventually landing on Florence Square. But not for art.
I actually came here to look for a job to work with the first African-American woman that had a payee service in Sacramento. But I didn't know she was a visual artist, and I had told her about all of the work that I was doing previously, and she's like, well, let's continue this work.
And Sojourner Truth in Sacramento was born, first as a cultural center and eventually adding museum to its title.
Has art always been part of your life?
Art has always been part of my life. I tell everyone that I came into this world with a paintbrush in my hand, okay? And so for me, art is a personal relationship with the most divine. I don't give any credit to any schooling or anyone but a higher power energy. It's my personal relationship, and I'm very grateful for that. And my mother recognized my artistic skills, you know, at the age of about one or two. And she started and continued to cultivate that energy. And so that was a blessing for me to have a parent that cultivated that energy. She always made sure I had art classes. She made sure I had paintbrushes, paint. She enrolled me in a variety of different programs, community programs. One was a Saturday school, African-American-centered school called Shule Jumose, where I did art, drumming. They had Kwanzaa. I learned Swahili. They had math and science. It was an amazing workshop, and I remember it like it was yesterday. She did that for me. And so I work with a lot of parents. I work with a lot of students. And when I see that in students, I encourage the parents to make sure you're cultivating that energy. You know, it's very important.
What I love about art and what you've created is you don't just keep it to yourself, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it's for the community. You created this for the community 30
yes.
years ago.
Yes.
What has been most surprising to you during this time, that relationship that you have with the community through this museum?
I think that I just said this the other day, that I've seen so many generations, you know, grow up, you know, under my tutelage. You know, I started with a youth way back in the day, even before, like I said, 1996, that it was like 6, 7 years old. and they're grown and they have kids. And then I serve their kids. And then those kids are grown. And now they have kids. And then they, so it's how many generations is that? Makes me feel like I'm a very old, old, old person. I guess I am. I accept that. But to be able to know that I've worked with that many generations have been just amazing to me. And I'm thankful for that.
If this museum didn't exist, what would be lost?
Wow. That is a good question. Art, of course, because we are a collective of visual artists, performing artists. And I remember when I was teaching at a local school, and our group walked into the classroom, and there was a young girl about the age of 8, and she was so excited, and she yelled, "This is the best day ever." And we were like, "Oh, okay, like, what is she talking?" And we're like, "Okay, great. Why is that?" She said, "Because I get to do art, you know, and the schools don't really have art like the way we present art." And so her best day ever was an opportunity to be able to do art. So we do so much art engagement in our community that would just disappear. We've helped to cultivate the South Sacramento community through art activations, beautification projects, which include street banners, street murals, murals on buildings, and utility boxes. Our organization is responsible for getting all the utility boxes down Florin Road and Meadowview painted. And recently, our people chairs, the 10-foot and 8-foot metal chairs that you now see down Florin Road. And what we did was invite the community to come and be a part of that process. You know, every type of activation we do, we invite the community so they can feel a part mm-hmm. of, you know, creating public art in their community.
Why do you think art is that special glue to bring community together in the ways that you just described?
It is that special glue because it is a creative spirit which connects, you know, all human beings together, you know, in a positive format and space. And so what better way to connect, you know, human beings together than in the form of creation, doing art, you know. And so not only art, but of course history. We're sharing history. And I tell everyone that African-American history is world history. We've made so many contributions to this world. And it's important for everyone to learn this history, so we can feel better connected. We can have self-love for ourselves and love ourselves. And when you're able to love yourself, you're able to love individuals in the space with you.
A big piece of the history here is the name, Sojourner Truth. Yes. You know, a Black abolitionist, mm-hmm. just a legendary woman in American history.
Yes.
Did you know that that was going to be the name from the get-go?
No, I did not. And I just did a presentation, online presentation, and I said that I didn't know, as a little girl, I didn't know anything about Sojourner Truth. I was drawn to the strength in her face, the strength in her hands. As most visual artists, we are drawn to images. And for me as a Black woman and a visual artist, that's the first thing I see in my surrounding is images. And so those hands, her hands, oh my gosh, the most powerful set of hands that I've ever seen. And then her face, you know, I said, this woman is someone that is special. So then much later in life, I began to learn about her, and I was already connected because as a little girl, I was always drawing images of her. And so once I did learn about her, I said, one day I want to do something to honor her legacy. So as soon as I received my 501c3 1996, I said, I'm going to name the Cultural Arts Center after Sojourner Truth, and that's what I did.
You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, I'm talking with Shona McDaniels, the founder of the Sojourner Truth Museum, Sacramento's longtime and only Black museum. Insight senior producer Andrew Garcia and I paid her a visit at the museum located at Florence Square Shopping Center.
The reason why we're talking to you is we read the article in The Observer that there was, you know, a meeting of the minds back in May mm-hmm. about the state of this museum and keeping it open. Mm-hmm. What are the state of things today? How are you doing?
We need funding. Lack of funding has been our issue. I mean, all of our team members that work here, they love working here. We have youth that work here. I actually created a youth docent program where we train docents to learn about the history here, all of the artifacts, and they are the ones to give the tours. I created a 250-piece traveling exhibition that we take into the schools. We would love to have more youth here, but we have a list of youth that want to come and join our current youth, but there's no funding. Last year, I think we probably received about 3 grants. And this year so far, only 2 grants. So all of the grants that we applied for last year were denied.
Do they give reasons why?
Some of them have said that you all are a museum. We can't believe that you do all of the work that you do. We can't believe that you have a youth docent program, that you have an entrepreneur program, that you have a workforce development program. You're a museum. But they're not sending no one to come here and see what we're doing, you know, because the community knows what we do, what we've been doing for years. We just did a mobile tour at a local school. We served about close to 700 students. July 2nd, we have 100 students coming here from the Roberts Family Development Center. We have had up to 250 students that come here. So it's heartbreaking. There's absolutely no help for us in Sacramento.
When it comes to the, like, how dire it is for funding over your 30 years, is now more extreme than years past? Like, is the museum at risk of closing or not operating?
Yes, because previously we had much smaller space. We didn't actually start expanding until after COVID.
Shona explains she took a leap of faith in 2021 when a neighboring space closed. But that initial starter funding is now long gone.
Our rent just went up tremendously. We thought we would have the help that we needed. We didn't think that, you know, having the only African-American museum in Sacramento, that we wouldn't get the help that, you know, we need it. So it's kind of been shocking to us. It's a tough one. But we're trying to keep that ball rolling.
Mm-hmm. Well, one way you're keeping the ball rolling is your annual fundraiser. It's your largest fundraiser.
Yes.
It's the Banana Festival later this summer in August.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about it ahead of this interview. I mean, you're busy working away and planning it. It's months and months of planning.
Mm-hmm.
How are things going? What should people know?
Well, it is a fundraiser for the Sojourner Truth Museum. It would be nice if everyone, after hearing this interview, would just go online and purchase a ticket. Even if they can't attend, just get a ticket. Ask friends and family to do the same.
Why was it named the Banana Festival?
Well, this festival is actually a 25-year festival. This will make 25 years. So the first title was named after the museum. SOJO Fine Arts Festival. So we did that for 10 years at this space. And it was a one-day festival, and we did not make one penny. We put in lots of artwork, but we did not make one penny. And so we went to the drawing board. We said, we have to do something different that will bring in some ticket sale money for what we're doing. And so our team members and I, we sit at the table and we started talking about food festivals. We're like, they have the asparagus festival, chocolate, pear, tomato. And we were like, what about banana? And we were like, yeah, banana. Because the banana brings together diverse groups of people around the world, and the way they prepare the banana is just perfect. We were like, yes. And then initially people were like, bananas don't grow in California. So, but yeah, there are banana farmers in California. One in LA, one in West Sacramento. The gentleman in West Sacramento, he actually comes out and set up at every banana festival, bring his banana trees. And so, yes, we do have banana farmers in California. So it was perfect. There was no other banana festival happening in California. In the state of Kentucky, yes, but not in California. So we said, let's do it.
Oh, it's far enough.
Yes, yes, yes. And people don't know that we actually help cultivate the banana festival in Ventura, California, and they love what we did because we are a collective of artists. So we made banana hats, banana jewelry, banana eating contest, banana bake off, you name it. And they were like, well, can you all come to LA and help us?
As we end our conversation, Shona takes us for a tour through her collections curated throughout generations.
I have a lot of favorite pieces. But these two are two of my favorite pieces because I work with two young men. They were teenagers at the time. And so I work with them to create these two pieces.
The young artists, David Washington and Izzy Lowe.
And they took it and they ran with it. And the outcome of these two pieces, I'm just blown away. I was just like, yes, I love it. Yes.
Creating a pair of vibrant, towering works spanning floor to ceiling.
This is a piece right here of Sarah Bartman. So she was a enslaved African woman from South Africa. And she had what a lot of women from that tribe had, a kind of a large Badal or something.
Derrier,
I like that. And so, and the Europeans had never seen anything like that. And they put her almost like in a circus where she would travel and people would pay to come and see her body. And so even after she died, her body was cut up and put in a glass encasing and put in the museum so people could continue to see her body, and they made money, you know. She didn't get any money at all.
Do you see this piece maybe giving Sarah back some of that power or
yes,
agency?
Yes, I do. I do. The energy that came with these young men to the ancestor, I mean, was just incredible. They came with it. This is one of the favorite pieces that people like to see when they come to the space.
It's beautiful.
To recognize her and her legacy and to know that teenagers helped do this is just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And then the other lady over here, Henrietta Lacks, and I love how they use like a mapping, you know, of her body. She's the black woman that had cervical cancer, you know, and she died, but they used her cells. They found out that her cells didn't die. They continued to, you know, multiply, and they've used her cells for, you know, medicines, you know, around the world to help cure people with cancer and things like that. But they never gave one penny to the family. The family didn't even know it.
Well, and as you have written on the wall, mm-hmm. I mean, her cells and cervical samples were taken without her knowledge or permission.
Exactly. And again, they used these little lines to represent her cells. I would not have thought about that. So I was like, whoa, okay. These are her cells. So they just did an amazing job capturing, you know, the energy and the legacy of these two women.
Mm-hmm. A museum that comes full circle. Shona giving life to neglected history at risk of becoming forgotten by uplifting the creativity of the next generation of artists.
Another student that's been here for years.
Including Judah X. Pimentel.
He's looking up like, oh no, I saw the look.
Judah has been working with Shona for 4 years. What does this museum mean to you?
A lot. Life. But yeah, I think it really just started my adulthood, honestly.
For people who haven't been to this museum, what would you like them to know about it? Why should they come and visit?
Well, it's not very common that you have a Black History Museum, you know, dedicated to Black history specifically, but also like more than just like the Civil Rights Movement, but also before that. And before enslavement and like ancient Africa and all these different things that were traditional and happened beforehand. But also it's owned by a Black woman who is also an artist, and it's curated. You can tell it's curated by a visual artist. You're not gonna see a lot of museums that are eclectic like this, where art's everywhere and where there's information everywhere. And there's a lot of museums have been normalizing minimalism a lot lately, and they have been for years, but I like that it's more maximalist here, and that's a unique experience in itself. But also the history is deep and it's unfiltered, so I think that's really important to see it through the sight of truth rather than sugarcoating.
Our trip ends with Shona introducing us to the person who recognized her talent from day one. Her mother.
When I talked earlier about, you know, parents cultivating their children, she's the one that helped cultivate that energy. And I'm so grateful that she's been, you know, the backbone for my existence. And I'm thankful to have her as my mother.
Meet Ollie McDaniels. You must be proud of everything she created.
Very much so. I'm proud of all my children. I have four. And each one of them have made me very happy. You know, they took whatever I tried to do as a single parent. They took what I had to say and they took it to their heart. And it's manifested to today. So I'm very proud of her.
As we say goodbye, Shona jumps right back into work. What she's fighting to keep alive goes beyond museum walls. Shona, thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate you both being here.
Yeah.
And helping us to share this story and the importance of us keeping these doors open and continuing to be an asset for our community. Mm-hmm.
We're the lucky ones.
Thank you so much.
Shona McDaniels is the founder and director of the Sojourner Truth African Heritage Museum, Sacramento's longtime and only Black museum. The 15th annual Sacramento Banana Festival is happening August 15th and 16th at William Land Park. We have a link to the festival on our Insight page. Up next, grappling with death and feelings of grief are intensely emotional moments in life, especially for younger ones trying to navigate. We'll learn about a new children's book that aims to make these painful conversations easier. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.